Baker McKenzie welcomes you to TMT Talk, the global TMT podcast series, focusing on sector-specific issues that are impactful on players in the technology, media, and telecoms industry.
So, hello, everyone, and thank you for joining us in a new podcast of our TMT Talk series. My name is Carolina Pardo, and I'm a partner of Baker McKenzie in Bogota, focused on compliance, antitrust, and data protection matters. I am also a member of the Global Steering Committee of our industry group for technology, media, and telecommunications, or TMT as we call it. Our episode of today stems from the first chapter of Baker McKenzie TMT Looking Ahead report for 2022, focusing on tech regulation and compliance. In this publication, our experts around the globe provide guidance and risks and management of such risks for TMT companies from different legal angles. One of the concerns in this field has to do with the protection of AI and trade secrets. To talk about this interesting topic, we have invited Brett Newman, a litigation partner of our Palo Alto office in the West Coast of the United States, and Sheng Shou, who is a partner of Feng Shui in Shanghai, an associated law firm of Baker McKenzie in China. We have selected you both as experts in these two very relevant jurisdictions for our audience. So welcome and thank you for joining us today. So starting with Brad, let me ask you, Brad, what are the top trade secret protection trends for companies in the U.S.?
Thank you, Carolina, for inviting me on, and it's a pleasure to be here. You know, the economy and the worldwide stage is taking a turn for the worse, both domestically in the United States and, of course, around the world. There's war in, you know, Eastern Europe. And what we see is after a long period of growth, there's now a feeling we are headed toward, if we're not already in, a recession. The capital markets are constricting, and a lot of things are happening with interest rates rising, and so on and so forth. And what that translates, I've been doing this coming on 30 years, and I've seen a few of these cycles, is that competitors now are going to be more aggressive in protecting their trade secrets and fighting it out if they feel their trade secrets have been compromised. And I'd say right now, against that background, the two biggest trends are, one, using forensics and data measures to shore up trade secret protections, because there's been a growing number of cases throughout the United States where the reviewing court has said, you know what, you did have trade secrets, but you didn't adequately protect them. And so you've lost the trade secret protection. So companies following best practices are instituting computer forensic and other monitoring and accounting protocols to make sure their data isn't compromised, and as one more reasonable measure. The other trend, interestingly enough, that's going on is a return to the desire to use contracts and specifically restrictive covenants to try and protect the leakage of protectable information when folks depart to your chief competitor. However, that is a state-by-state analysis within the United States, and there are many states that are hostile to using non-compete agreements and employee non-solicit agreements to protect anything, including trade secrets. And so there's also legislation that's been passed in certain states prohibiting the use of non-compete agreements with low wage earners and otherwise putting in restrictions. For example, Massachusetts now requires that where they're otherwise enforceable, and there's a checklist of when that would be, you provide the Massachusetts law control any dispute, not New York law or Delaware. So you really have this conflict between companies wanting to return to a strong enforcement posture on covenants not to compete and not to solicit customers and employees, and courts and legislatures in the states saying, you know, you got to be careful and make sure you follow our own rules in our own states. So those are really the two big trends against a souring global and domestic economy.
Thank you, Brad. And indeed, these are challenging times. And as you point out, it is a moment in which we will continue to see lots of changes and the desire of companies to protect their assets, including, of course, their trade secrets and their proprietary information. And of course, the challenges that you have pointed out in understanding the postures of courts in different states is certainly something that surely our audience will find very, very interesting. And so, talking about the differences and moving to Asia, I'm sure our audience is also very interested to understand how and if AI can be protected in China. So, Shang, can you tell us how to ensure that the core elements of AI, such as algorithms and data, can be protected as trade secrets in your jurisdiction?
Yes, thanks, Carolina. So certainly the core elements of AI can be protected as trade secrets in China. So unlike in many other jurisdictions, we do have statutory protection for trade secrets in China. So on the PRC laws, trade secrets refer to any commercial information, including technical information and business information, which is not known to the public, has commercial value, and for which proper protective measures have been taken to maintain the secrecy of this kind of information. And for the first two requirements, it will be presumed that the confidential information is not known to public if any entity has taken proper protective measures to maintain the secrecy of such confidential information. The defendants will be under the burden of proof to show that the concerned information is already known to public. Thus, proper protective measures are critical for protecting the core elements of AI as trade secrets in China. Then the good thing is that the standard of proper protective measures is relatively low on the PRC laws. So below are some examples that would be regarded as proper protective measures have been taken. First of all, impose confidentiality obligations on those who can access the trade secrets by means of agreement, handbooks, and policies, and etc. And number two, differentiate and manage trade secrets by means of marking, classifying, isolating, encrypting, and sealing. Number three, limited scope of personnel that can access to the trade secrets. Number four, restrict visitors to factories, workshops, and other places involving trade secrets. Number five, require departing employees to register, return, remove, or destroy trade secrets and the carriers acquired by them, and continue to assume the obligation of confidentiality. So what is kind of acts can be regarded as that proper protective measures have been taken. So with regard to the last requirement on commercial value, you need to keep records and documents which can show value of the concerned trade secrets. These records and documents include, but not limited to, the documents showing the money and resources that have been invested in research and development of the trade secrets, and also the documents regarding license fee of concerned trade secrets, and documents showing the competitive advantage you have based on these trade secrets. So in general, we believe it will be quite easy for the TMT companies to meet this kind of requirements on the PRC laws to seek protection of the core elements of their AI through trade secrets.
Shang, thank you for all these valuable tips, which I'm sure our audience will value very much. I see that protocols, and also similar to what Brad was explaining, some housekeeping regarding documents and how you document and how you keep evidence of the information is something that will be very helpful for protecting the secrets in China. So thank you very much for these tips. Moving back to the US, let me ask you now, Brad, and seeing that there are many references also on how the information and the interaction with the employees of a company should be kept. What can you tell us about what is happening in the US with artificial intelligence hiring tools, how the regulation is working, and how is the trade secret protection working around these matters?
So this is a super fascinating question. And let me just start by explaining that there has been an explosion in the United States of companies using AI hiring tools to screen applicants, to determine who gets an interview, to determine who gets hired, and even after they get hired, who gets promoted and who gets terminated. And the trends are that venture capital investment in companies developing this technology and the use of it is going to do nothing but expand. And so against this background of all of the United States federal agencies, the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission has come out very strongly saying they are going to use their enforcement powers to enforce federal anti-discrimination laws and specifically focus on alleged violations of federal employment law that arise out of the use of AI hiring tools. And as an aside, Baker McKenzie just released a survey where 500 technology companies were surveyed who use AI, and many of them use them in the AI hiring space. And it would be a separate podcast, but the findings were essentially that HR and legal aren't being consulted early enough in the process to really add as much value as they need to. But coming back to your question, you have the federal government of the United States saying they're going to make this AI hiring tools and the companies that use it a focus, and letters of inquiry are going out. And I'm quite confident that even as we speak, somewhere within the EEOC, they're looking to make an example out of a large corporation or even a smaller one who use AI hiring tools and are accused of bias, excluding people because of their gender, ethnicity, sexual preference, those sort of things. So what does this have to do with trade secrets? When the government comes calling, and very soon thereafter, the plaintiff's lawyers are going to come calling, they're going to demand to discover everything about the algorithms, the data training sets, the inputs and outputs over time, the modulations, what the algorithms are upranking and downranking. And all of these things, these factual questions hinge on the trade secrets of the makers and producers of these AI algorithms. And there's going to be imminently a lot of court battles over what can be discovered by the US government and what can be discovered by private litigants suing over AI hiring tools. But this is going to be, in America, I believe, the first battleground over whether AI is being misused in a way that's hurtful toward applicants and people in their jobs. It's going to involve a lot of litigation, and I've been in contact with and spoken directly to an EEOC commissioner who's very, very knowledgeable and leading the way here. And it's very clear that these battles are going to be fought imminently. And so if there are companies that are using or making as their product AI in general and AI hiring tools specifically, they should be very, very cognizant of what they're classifying as their trade secrets and how they're protecting it. And when the government or plaintiff's lawyers come calling, they need counsel who understands not only trade secrets, but AI and how it's developed and deployed.
Wow. Thank you, Brad. And certainly a big challenge since the temptation and the attraction on these digital tools is very, very high, but I could not leave the comment out that you made regarding how many companies are leaving out the HR and legal functions out of these decisions, and what this approach, how this approach will trigger some risks, given the comments that you made with respect to potential, but sure, litigation in some cases, and how, as you mentioned, of course, the possibility of becoming an example, which certainly makes it even more important to bring in the legal function within the companies early enough to make sure that, as interesting and as useful as these tools are, that the protection is definitely there. So thank you so much for all these comments and these tips. And then I'm going to ask now, Shang, perhaps if you can tell us what would be, talking about litigation and possible measures, what measures and remedies would be available in China in case of a trade secret infringement? I don't know if you can tell us a little bit about, from different perspectives, what our audience could be looking at.
Yes, Carolina. So first of all, I want to give some background of the regime in China. So we have seen positive developments in trade secret protection regime in China in recent years, and the legislation on trade secret issues have also been significantly accelerated. And also, we have, you know, the law shift the burden of proof in trade secret cases have been introduced under PRC laws. And also, the threshold for criminal case against trade secret infringement has been lowered. So what these kind of changes are expected to make the trade secret protection in China much easier for the Western companies. And so come back to your questions. On the PRC laws, trade secrets can be enforced through three channels, namely civil actions, criminal actions, and administrative actions. So the remedies under each type of action are different. For civil actions, the remedies that a plaintiff can seek include permanent injunction, return or destruction of misappropriated trade secrets, and damages and reasonable legal costs, as well as a publication of statement to eliminate adverse impacts, if there's any. And damages can be calculated based on plaintiff's losses or the defendant's illegal profits from the infringement. If you do not have any evidence which can show your losses or the defendant's illegal profits, you can try to seek damages based on statutory damages, which can be up to RMB 5 million, which is around USD 800,000. So where the losses suffered by the plaintiff or the defendant's illegal gains from trade secret infringements exceed around USD 50K, the defendant may need to bear criminal liabilities, including imprisonment and or a fine. The imprisonment can be up to 10 years, depending on the severity of the infringement. The fine can be 1 to 5 times of illegal gains. As can be appreciated, criminal actions has the strongest deterrent effect, but it is difficult to persuade the Public Security Bureau to docket a criminal trade secret infringement case. That's the challenge. And the trade secret owners can also try to file complaints against the infringers with administrative authorities. The administrative authorities have the power to issue an injunction order, impose a fine on the infringer, and confiscate the infringer's illegal gains. But the administrative authority does not have the power to award monetary compensation to the trade secret owner. And administrative action is much more cost-effective when compared with the civil and the criminal actions, which can take a long time and are costly. So if any trade secret infringement act is found, a plaintiff needs to evaluate the severity of the case, consider, you know, what goals it wants to achieve, then it can decide on, you know, a proper action that needs to be taken against the infringer.
Shang, thank you. Thank you so much. Certainly a lot of challenges, and I hear abundance of risks and issues, and including reputational, and when you mentioned the publication, and also with respect to confiscation of illegal proceeds, and also regarding, of course, fines and imprisonment even. So, well, I think this is such a fascinating topic, and but we need to be very very disciplined, not to stay here and spend hours perhaps talking about all these matters and exchanging all these very interesting views. This has been very, very useful and enriching, at least for me. I hope that our audience shares the same. So thank you both for sharing very insightful and interesting comments. And to our audience, thank you for joining us today. We really look forward to having you in our next episode of our TMT Talk series. Hasta la próxima, amigos.